Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Josh Hammer, and welcome back to America on Trial, your one-stop shop for all your legal news pertaining to the 2024 presidential election and all the major pressing legal headlines, for that matter, affecting our country and our American way of life. On today's show, we're going to take a deep dive back into Alvin Bragg's criminal prosecution in New York City. Trump's latest attempt to delay the start date has been thwarted yet again there. All signs are pointing towards a criminal prosecution start date this Monday. What does it all mean? We'll talk about that and then more. Then later on in today's closing argument, I want to flag for y'all an interesting opinion that I came across yesterday out in Washington State. When it comes to the Second Amendment and your constitutional right to keep and bear arms, I am a gun guy myself. I thought that this was a fascinating opinion with potentially much broader consequences and applications. So all of that and more later on the show in today's closing argument segment. But first, as always, it's time to go around the horn. It's a jam-packed around the horn segment for you guys today, so let's go ahead and dive right in. We begin with a brief note in Washington, D.C., just flagging for you that this Monday, April 15th, is the deadline for Donald Trump to issue a reply brief, if he so chooses, to Special Counsel Jack Smith when it comes to the presidential immunity appeal. Just another reminder, we are gearing up here for that huge argument at the U.S. Supreme Court in the presidential immunity case on April 25th. That is 2 weeks from tomorrow. That is rapidly approaching. That is a huge deal. We need answers to that question as to the scope, breadth, and depth of presidential immunity from criminal prosecution before Jack Smith can proceed any further with his probe in Washington, D.C. From D.C. down to Florida, there was a ruling in the classified documents case yesterday. This is the least discussed, at least presently, really, of the four criminal prosecutions. This is the classified documents case involving the document dispute between Mar-a-Lago and the feds and the National Archives. And Judge Aileen Cannon, who was a Trump-nominated district court judge in Fort Pierce, Florida, she had an interesting ruling yesterday. It was a 24-page opinion where she accepted Jack Smith and his fellow prosecutors' argument that the names of potential witnesses in this case should be removed, that their names should be removed from all public court filings. But she turned down their more sweeping and aggressive request that not just their identities, but even their statements, even their very statements, be kept away from the public. So that's the upshot of yesterday's 24-page ruling. There is a lot of language in here that appears to be, if you're trying to read between the lines a little bit here, a little skeptical, casting a little shade, I guess you might say, at Jack Smith and his fellow lawyers there. Basically, Judge Cannon seemed a little perplexed that not all of this was ready to go and that all parties were not already on the same page here as we rapidly approach what could be the commencement date of a federal prosecution of an ex-president. So she's a little perplexed by all of that, but she does nonetheless give the prosecutors partially at least what they want when it comes to deleting the names of potential witnesses from public court filings. From Florida, we go out to Arizona. Wow, what a ruling yesterday out in the Arizona Supreme Court. So in a 4-2 ruling, the Arizona Supreme Court has upheld a Civil War era, an 1864 abortion ban that is a pretty sprawling pro-life law that would essentially ban that procedure, that would essentially ban the taking of an unborn human life in all instances other than that which the life of the mother is affected. And I believe that law, again, which is a very old law, goes back roughly a half century before Arizona was even a state. I believe that law doesn't even include the modern so-called mental health exceptions. It's really just the physical life of the mother. That is how abortion was typically handled back in the antebellum period in the 19th century or so. And it's an interesting ruling because what happened was in 2022, specifically in March 2022, before the Dobbs abortion case overturned Roe just a few months prior in June 2022, in March 2022, the Arizona legislature and then Governor Doug Ducey signed into law a 15-week trigger ban, which would essentially try to put into place a 15-week ban after Roe was overturned, which of course it was. But what the Arizona Supreme Court majority concluded yesterday is that the 15-week ban, quote, does not create a right to or otherwise provide independent statutory authority for an abortion that otherwise repeals or restricts the 1864 law. Rather, the court found that the 2022 law is, quote, predicated entirely on the existence of a federal constitutional right to an abortion. And that right, of course, has since been overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court. That was the entire holding of the Dobbs case in June of 2022. So because the 2022 law, quote, does not independently authorize abortion, there is no provision that prohibits the 1864 law. So a very interesting legal ruling, strikes me at first blush as correct. But you nonetheless have a lot of Republicans in Arizona who are trying to run very, very far away from this. Doug Ducey among them. Carrie Lake certainly was trying to distance herself from this decision of the Arizona Supreme Court yesterday. Look, I understand that abortion politics in an election year, I obviously understand that all of this is dicey stuff. This is a political hot button issue, if there ever were one. Democrats are trying really hard to run on this issue. I totally understand that. But that doesn't mean that what the Arizona Supreme Court did here is actually incorrect. And if you are a Republican legislator in Arizona, you should probably think very carefully as to how you want to handle this. Do you want to actually try to liberalize abortion right now, given the fact that this law is now on the books and there is something closely amounting to a complete ban? Also, bear in mind that Arizona is going to have an extraordinarily broad, sweeping pro-abortion ballot initiative on its ballot this fall. Those ballot initiatives have not gone well for us pro-lifers in the aftermath of Dobbs. So a lot of factors to consider there out in Arizona. Fascinating stuff. We're going to keep close eyes on that one. From Arizona, we go up to Michigan. There was a big court ruling in the state of Michigan yesterday. You had the first parents of a mass school shooter who were themselves sentenced. They were sentenced to at least 10 years in prison, Jennifer and James Crumbly. The court found that the parents missed opportunities right there in their face that could have prevented their teenage son from possessing a gun and killing four fellow students in 2021. This is one of the key lines from Oakland County Judge Cheryl Matthews. Quote, "These convictions are not about poor parenting. These convictions confirm repeated acts or lack of acts that could have halted an oncoming runaway train." So look, on the one hand, it's difficult to extrapolate from a state court case when it comes to specific facts and specific state law. It's a little hard to extrapolate on the one hand to other parts of the country. On the other hand, this is a potentially chilling and harrowing ruling, for sure, when it comes to gun rights here. I mean, where does this stop? If you're going to start holding people criminally liable and culpable and find them guilty other than the actual shooter, the person who pulled the trigger, then where does this train actually stop? Are you going to start getting to the point where you're going to hold gun manufacturers liable? Where the political left, the gun-grabbing lobby, has certainly been trying to get us to that place for a very long time there. That's been a long-sought goal of theirs for decades. Are you going to get to the place where you're going to start holding YouTube content creators liable who tout the benefits of gun ownership and self-defense, and maybe they quote-unquote radicalize someone? I mean, this strikes me as profoundly dangerous, and I am just not at all even remotely persuaded of it at first blush. But again, it is difficult, if we're being fair, to extrapolate this too far, but for now, it is definitely something of a red flag and a warning sign. From Michigan over to New York City and Florida as well. So in a New York courtroom on Tuesday, you had a Florida woman by the name of Amy Harris, who was sentenced for the theft and subsequent sale of Ashley Biden's diary. This story has been percolating for a number of years now. Ashley Biden's diary was found by, it turns out it was found by this woman from Florida, Amy Harris. She apparently found it in a friend's house in Delray Beach, Florida. That's in Palm Beach County. And she subsequently sold the diary to Project Veritas before Project Veritas and James O'Keefe had their blow up last year. So back when Project Veritas was operating at full speed. And then if you recall, it was in November 2021 that the feds tried to secure this diary by doing this horrific, absolutely galling raid at Project Veritas's offices in Westchester County, New York. They went to James O'Keefe's personal home there. It's been a mess for a number of years now. In any event, Amy Harris, the woman who apparently stole this diary, she had pled guilty to a conspiracy charge back in August 2022. She has now been sentenced to a month in prison and 3 months of home confinement as well. This entire ordeal, the entire way that they have tried to crack down on Project Veritas and now sentencing Amy Harris, really does just reek of chilling First Amendment consequences here and just smacks of the very kind of use of political and prosecutorial power to prosecute one's political and ideological foes that tragically has become a hallmark and defining feature of the Biden administration. Finally, we go out to Ohio. Just a brief note. I thought this was worth flagging for y'all that Norfolk Southern, the well-known railway company, agreed yesterday to a massive $600 million settlement for the East Palestine, Ohio train derailment. This is a settlement pursuant to a class action lawsuit for many of those who were harmed by this utterly egregious disaster that unfolded there in eastern Ohio over a year ago now. Norfolk Southern had already spent more than $1 billion on its response, including more than $104 million in direct aid to East Palestine, and now they have agreed to this very large settlement. That does not foreclose all of the legal claims that are at issue in this case. For example, the Attorney General of Ohio, Dave Yost, is continuing to pursue separate legal action as well, but for now, a settlement has been reached, at least when it comes to this massive class action. Okay, that's it for today's Around the Horn segment. Up next in today's deep dive, more news out of Donald Trump's criminal prosecution in New York City. What's going on there? We'll give you the details. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back. It's time for today's deep dive. So for the second time in 2 days, judges in the New York State Judiciary have denied former President Donald Trump's attempts to delay the start date for his criminal prosecution in New York City. This is the Alvin Bragg case on so-called hush money payment grounds. So yesterday, on Tuesday, April 9th, you had appellate judge Cynthia Kern, who denied Trump's latest attempt to delay this trial. Basically, what happened here was that Trump was saying that because of the sweeping nature of the gag order that was recently imposed on him by the judge overseeing this case, Juan Merchan, that because of the sweeping nature of this gag order, that the trial start date had to be delayed so that Trump would have his fair shot to be able to appeal to minimize the sweeping nature of this particular gag order. So just to back up a little bit, the initial gag order that was placed on him by Judge Juan Merchan had nothing whatsoever to do with the families of the prosecutor or the judge themselves. Rather, that initial limited gag order on March 26th merely prohibited Donald Trump from publicly discussing some other folks in the case, such as court staff, witnesses. But the expanded gag order which came just a few days later on March 29th from Judge Juan Merchan, then included also the relatives of Alvin Bragg, the prosecutor, and Juan Merchan, the judge. So Trump's basic argument, it was somewhat of a Hail Mary play this week, was trying to delay the start date because this gag order is so sweeping, and therefore we can't start this trial until we figure out whether or not this gag order has been applied unjustly or illegally. And that is really it. I mean, he's now 2 for 2, been rejected twice this week, has Donald Trump, when it comes to attempts to delay the start date for this trial. Recall on Monday, as we discussed on yesterday's episode of America on Trial, on Monday, April 8th, they also rejected there, the appellate judges in New York State, they also rejected Trump's attempt to, in another attempted Hail Mary, to get this thing removed, to get this case removed from Manhattan to Staten Island, which is the only red-leaning jurisdiction in New York City, the only Republican county that voted for Donald Trump both in 2016 and in 2020. They said that that, too, was not legitimate, that it was not categorically impossible to get a fair jury in New York City. So it looks like this thing is going to help, it looks like this thing is going to get started on Monday, April 15th, on tax day of all days. And another development that happened yesterday, or I guess it technically happened on Monday, but I didn't really start to see it until yesterday on Tuesday, is that the judge here also released a list of 42 questions, which are the juror questions. These are the questions that prospective jurors in this hush money case are going to be asked about in their attempt to do voir dire and get jury selection and ultimately comprise a jury in this case here. And some of it is definitely some eyebrow-raising stuff. So, for example, they're saying, do you listen to talk radio? If so, which programs? Do you currently follow Donald Trump on any social media site, or have you done so in the past? And then they start asking, have you ever considered yourself a supporter of or belong to any of the following? The QAnon movement? Proud Boys? Oath Keepers? 3%ers, Boogaloo Boys. I've never heard of some of these people, the 3%ers and the Boogaloo Boys, but you know, the fact that they're even asking potential jurors whether or not they're members of QAnon, Proud Boys, or Oath Keepers is pretty wild stuff, to be honest with you. There are some other questions in here that are also quite colorful, that are asking about how they view Trump's treatment of women and things like that there. So there's a lot potentially here to be concerned about, I think. I view this as just another indication that this is not going to be a particularly fair trial. But we knew that all along. We knew that all along this was not going to be a fair trial, because you have a Soros-funded hack of a district attorney in Alvin Bragg, who is pursuing charges that even his predecessor, Cy Vance Jr., in the New York County, New York DA office, as well as the federal prosecutor there sitting in the SDNY, the Southern District of New York, they both looked into this exact same allegation that there was a felony to bring here on so-called hush money payment charters, and they both rejected that possibility. They both looked into it and said, nope, that's actually a stretch too far. But turns out it's really not a stretch too far for Alvin Bragg, because he is a man of no scruples, who is a Soros-funded hack, and therefore here we actually are. So just zooming out for a brief moment here, I continue to think that this is a harrowing and chilling event. I think that it is a crossing of a Rubicon that we are simply never going to get back in this country. Once you start going down the rabbit hole, once you start going down the rabbit hole of prosecuting political foes, of prosecuting your chief political opposition, and especially in an election year like this, once you go down the rabbit hole of trying to put people in prison like this, there's really no coming back from that abyss. And it really is entirely fair to start asking questions at a certain point as to how the United States starts to differ from some of those sub-Saharan Africa, third world countries that go ahead and actually try to incarcerate their political opposition. And look, it's not always just a third world thing. You've had some more first worldy countries, so to speak. Italy would be an example. Even Israel, actually, to an extent, where they go ahead and start to incarcerate or at least prosecute some of their political opposition. So there is some precedent for it, but it's not a good precedent. Joe Biden himself was also under special counsel investigation with the Robert Hur classified documents, special counsel probe. So I really, really do not like more broadly speaking, the path that we are going down when it comes to prosecuting political opposition and the leading candidate of other political parties. If you are a patriot, if you care about the U.S. Constitution, if you care about our rule of law, there is so much here to be wildly concerned about. And unfortunately, tragically, all of that is going to be on trial starting Monday in Judge Juan Merchan's courtroom in New York City. Not merely Donald Trump, but really America, truly, in many ways, is also on trial. That's it for today's deep dive. Up next in today's closing argument segment, I want to flag a fascinating gun case for y'all out of Washington State. Stay with us. I'll unpack it for you. We'll be right back.
What is the no-spin news all about?
You know that this is a fact-based analysis news program. You know that. We avoid speculation. We don't do conspiracies here. We don't do party politics here. We're not nonpartisan. That's wrong. Not that. Okay, we are advocates for a stronger America and a more just society. We don't believe in communism. We don't believe in socialism. We don't believe in nihilism. We don't believe in the progressive woke culture. We think it is un-American. We don't support that. So you should know what we are. And it would then crystallize what we do.
Listen to the No Spin News. Subscribe to Bill O'Reilly's podcast feed wherever podcasts are available.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome back. It's time for today's closing argument. So, fascinating case out of Washington State yesterday. This is coming from Cowlitz County in Washington. Superior Court judge there, Gary Bashor, ruled that Washington State's ban on so-called high-capacity magazines, which they define as holding more than 10 rounds in them, those magazines have been banned since 2022. Judge Bashor found that this law violated both the Washington State and the U.S. Constitution. He based the ruling in large part on the Bruin case, the landmark 2022 U.S. Supreme Court decision that was the logical follow-up to the Heller case of 2008 and the McDonald case of 2010. The Bruin case was the first time that the U.S. Supreme Court said that it's not merely keeping arms, but it's actually bearing arms per the Second Amendment constitutional text that actually has any teeth here. And they basically overturned a lot of the more prohibitive, a lot of the more restrictive carry regimes across these United States. In the Bruin case, the court held, in a majority opinion from the great Justice Clarence Thomas, the court held that gun regulations must be, quote, consistent with the nation's historical tradition of firearm regulation. But Judge Bashor out in Cowlitz County, Washington, found that a ban on so-called high-capacity magazines simply does not have any kind of historical tradition. There's nothing you can possibly point to make this thing actually kosher. So here's some excerpts from Judge Bashor's opinion. Quote, "There was no appetite to limit gun rights by the founders. Though the specific technology available today may not have been envisioned, the founders expected technological advancements. The result is few, if any, historical analog laws by which a state can justify a modern firearms regulation." That is a strong piece of writing there. And it's hard not to think about how this thing might ultimately get extrapolated. For a very long time, I have been saying that the federal judiciary is going to have to clarify the scope of bearing arms, the scope of carry regimes in this country. Do you have an affirmative constitutional right to open or conceal carry? The court started to get into this in the Bruin case of 2022. Unfortunately, a lot of federal lower courts failed to uphold Bruin since 2022, including out in California and the Ninth Circuit and areas like that there. Ultimately, I think this case, or more generally, this legal issue is headed back to the U.S. Supreme Court sooner rather than later. But for now, a very good and indeed, I hope, propitious and auspicious ruling by Cowlitz County Superior Court Judge Gary Bashore out in Washington State. Well, that's it for today's episode of America on Trial with Josh Ammer. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. We'll be right back with you tomorrow morning.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.